Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're cutting through some of that online noise. We're diving into something most of us probably just scroll right past.
Yeah, those legal links in the bottom of a web page.
Exactly. The crucial legal and privacy documents. Specifically, we're looking at a German company, Nansen and Picard Parches.
Right. And these documents, things like the Impressum or the Datenschutzerklärung, the privacy policy, they might seem dry.
Totally, like just legal jargon.
But they're packed with really essential info about how sites work and, maybe more importantly, how your data gets handled.
And you mentioned these are especially key in the German context.
Absolutely. Within the German legal framework, these aren't just formalities. Things like the Impressum, the privacy policy, copyright notice, the disclaimer, they're foundational. They build trust and transparency.
So understanding them is pretty vital if you're interacting with German website.
It really is. It helps you navigate online with more confidence, knowing what's what.
Okay, so our mission today, let's unpack the important bits from these sources. We want to help you understand what they mean, why they matter for website owners and for you, and how they actually empower you online.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's get into it then. First up, the Impressum. What exactly is that, and why do you see it so often on German sites?
Okay, the Impressum. It's basically a legally required disclosure statement. Think of it like a digital business card for any commercial website in Germany.
A business card? Okay.
Yeah, it's all about transparency, accountability. So for Nansen and Picard, their Impressum gives you their full legal name, the physical address in Munich, in this case, and direct contact details, phone, email, website.
So you know exactly who you're dealing with.
Precisely. The law demands they provide this. It tells you who they are, where they are, and how to reach them, especially if there's, you know, a legal issue.
And I notice it goes beyond just the basic contact info. It lists Vertretungsberechtigte Partner, authorized partners, and this VAT ID number. Why those specifics? Seems quite detailed for the average user.
It does, but it ties directly back to that accountability point. Knowing the authorized partners tells you exactly who can legally represent the company. The VAT ID. That confirms they're officially registered for tax purposes. It's another layer of legitimacy.
So it's not just bureaucracy. It's about establishing clear legal responsibility.
Exactly. And notice they also state who is verantwortlich für den Inhalt, responsible for the content. Here, it's Nansen and Picard Parches themselves. It reinforces that accountability under German law.
Okay.
They even credit the design studio and a photographer. It's a nice touch, showing they acknowledge contributors.
Right. So that covers who they are. But what about the stuff on the website? The content, the design?
Yeah.
Who owns that? That brings us to Urheberrecht.
Yeah.
Copyright.
Urheberrecht.
Copyright.
What does Nansen and Picard say about the rights to their website content?
Well, the core message is pretty straightforward. The website's content, its structure, it's all copyright protected.
Standard stuff then, pretty much. It means that any Vervielfältigung, Bearbeitung, Verbreitung, oder jede andere Artennutzung, so reproduction, editing, distribution, any other kind of use, generally needs their explicit written okay first.
Right, protects their work.
Exactly. It's about protecting their intellectual property.
But there's usually an exception, isn't there? I see here. Downloads und Kopien dieser Seite sind nur für den privaten, nicht kommerziellen Gebrauch gestattet. What does that mean in practice?
That's the common carve-out. It means downloads and copies are allowed, but only for your personal private use, not for commercial purposes.
So I could download an article to read later, maybe print it for myself?
Generally, yes. That usually falls under private use.
But I couldn't just stick it on my company's blog or social media feed?
Probably not without permission, no. That would likely cross the line into non-private or potentially commercial use, which is outside that exception.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's worth noting, they also explicitly say they respect third-party copyrights on their site. They even ask users to let them know if they spot any potential infringement.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and they commit to removing it immediately. It shows they're trying to be responsible about IP rights, both their own and others.
Okay, so we know who owns the site and who owns the content. That leads us pretty neatly into the Haftungsausschluss, the disclaimer, liability stuff.
Oh, yes, the disclaimer. Always important.
What kinds of liabilities are companies trying to limit here? Why are these disclaimers so crucial online?
It's fundamentally about managing risk and setting expectations for anyone using the site. It usually covers two main areas.
Okay, what's the first?
First is Haftung für Inhalte liability for the actual content on their own site. Nansen Picard says they try to provide aktuelle un correcta información, you know, current and correct info.
Right. They strive for accuracy.
But they can't guarantee it's always perfectly accurate, complete, or up to date. So the disclaimer basically says they're not generally liable for damages caused by using their information.
Unless
there's proof of Vorsätzliches oder grob Fahrlässiges Verschulden, which means proven intentional wrongdoing or gross negligence on their part.
So a pretty high bar for them to be held liable for their own content inaccuracies?
It is. It reminds users that online information often has limitations. The second area is Haftung für Links, liability for links to external third-party websites.
Ah, okay. What about those?
Here, they state clearly they have no influence over those external sites. They can't control what's on them.
Makes sense.
So they take keine Gewähr, no responsibility for that external content. They do say they check links for legal issues when they first add them.
But they don't constantly monitor them.
Right. Continuous monitoring isn't really feasible or expected unless they get concrete evidence of a legal violation. But if they do become aware of a problem link,
they'll remove it.
Exactly. They commit to removing it promptly. This protects them from being responsible for stuff on sites they don't run, which is obviously vital online.
Yeah, absolutely. These disclaimers really define the boundaries of responsibility and protect businesses online.
Okay.
Now, let's shift to what might be the most interesting part for us as users. The Datenschutzerklärung, the privacy policy. This affects us directly.
Definitely. This is where it gets personal, quite literally.
So what are the general principles Nansen and Picard lays out here? The Allgemeine Hinweis, the general notes.
The core principle they emphasize right away is protecting personal data. That's paramount. They state that generally you can use their website ohne Angabes personenbezogener Daten without actually providing personal data.
Okay, so anonymous browsing is the default.
Mostly, yes. If any data is collected, like your name or email if you contact them, or technical data like your IP address, it's done either voluntarily by you or because of legal requirements.
And they identify themselves as the ones responsible.
Yes. They explicitly state Nansen and Picard Parches is the Verantwortliche Stelle, the responsible body for data processing on their site. That tells you who is accountable for how your data is handled.
So if anonymous browsing is the norm, what specific personal data might get collected, even if it's anonymized or voluntary?
Good question. They detail the Erhebung und Speicherung personenbezogener Daten collection and storage in a few key areas. Mm-hmm. First, there are server log Datan, server log files.
Technical stuff.
Exactly. Your browser automatically sends things like its type, your operating system, the site you came from, the time you visited. Crucially, they mention the IP address is anonymized.
Ah, anonymized. That's important.
Very. And they state these logs are not merged with other data sources. They're used purely for ensuring the website runs smoothly and for improving their service. That anonymization is a key privacy safeguard.
Okay, what else besides server logs?
Then you have cookies. Most people have heard of these. Small text files stored on your device.
Right, the cookie banners we all click through.
Huh, yeah. They explain cookies help with website functions and make things more user-friendly. But importantly, they also tell you that you können die Verwendung von Cookies entaktivieren. You can turn off cookies in your browser settings.
But there might be a downside.
Yes, they warn that disabling cookies kann die Funktionalität einschränken. It might limit some website functionality. So it's a trade-off you can choose to make.
Okay, and what if I actively contact them, say, via email?
Right, contact aufnahme per email. If you email them, they state that the data you provide in the email is stored simply to process your request or inquiry.
And they won't just share it around.
No, they explicitly say it's nicht ohne ihre Einwilligung weiter. It won't be shared further without your consent.
This brings up a really crucial point for everyone listening. What rights do we actually have with our data, especially under GDPR, the big European data protection law?
This is probably the most empowering section for users. They clearly outline ihr Rechte als Nutzer, your rights as a user, and they directly reference the GDPR articles, the DSGVO in German.
Okay, like what?
Well, first, you have the right to information under Article 15. You can ask them what data they hold about you.
So I can just ask them for my data?
Yes. Then there's the right to correction, Article 16. If the data they have is wrong, you can get it fixed.
Makes sense.
And then a really powerful one, the right to deletion, Article 17, often called the right to be forgotten. You can request they erase your data under certain conditions.
Wow, okay. What else?
There's the right to restriction of processing, Article 18. This lets you limit how they use your data in some situations. And the right to object to data processing, Article 21. you can say no to processing under specific circumstances.
So quite a lot of control, potentially.
Absolutely. And finally, the right to data portability, Article 20. This means you can ask for your data in a common machine-readable format, maybe to transfer it elsewhere.
And then make it clear you can just contact them about this.
Yes, they emphasize you can contact them anytime to exercise these rights or ask any other data protection questions. These aren't just abstract legal points. They're actionable rights you possess.
That's really good to know. And they also mentioned something about the policy being up to date.
Right. The actualitates datenschutzerklärung, the currency in the policy. They acknowledge that it might need to change because of legal updates or technical developments.
So check back occasionally.
Essentially, yes. The current valid version will always be available on their website. It's a reminder that this stuff isn't static. The digital landscape keeps evolving.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all together. We've taken a pretty deep dive into these sometimes overlooked legal and privacy documents from Nansen and Picard Parches.
We sure have.
We looked at the Impressum and its demand for transparency. We saw how copyright, the Urheberrecht, protects their content. We understood the boundaries set by the Haftungsausschluss, the disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, we untacked the Datenschutzerklärung, the privacy policy, looking at the data handling practices, and importantly, the really strong user rights under GDPR.
And if you step back and look at the bigger picture here, what becomes clear is that these documents, yeah, they can be detailed, maybe a bit dense sometimes.
Definitely dense sometimes.
Ah, right. But they are genuinely a powerful tool for your empowerment as a consumer, as a digital citizen. They're not just hoops businesses have to jump through.
They're more than just legal checkboxes.
Exactly. They provide a real framework for trust and security online. Understanding them, even just the basics we covered, lets you be a much more informed participant and a better protected one, too.
So the final thought for you listening is this. What does all this mean for you? How can understanding these things change the way you interact with, well, any website you visit?
It encourages a more critical eye.
Absolutely. Be more aware of your digital rights and your responsibilities, too. Because in this incredibly connected world we live in, knowledge really is power, especially when it comes to your data and your online identity.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.